I would like to speak to you for a few minutes on the prophet Micah and chapter 7 and verse 18. The prophet Micah, chapter 7 and verse 18. And this is what Micah says. Who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will be true to Jacob and show mercy to Abraham, as you pledged on oath to our fathers in days long ago. Particularly these words: who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. Micah the prophet is addressing, if you read the first chapter, he's addressing Judah and Samaria. But he lifts up his voice and he speaks to the whole earth. O earth, he speaks of in the first chapter. And you will find that his message to Judah and to Samaria begins with judgment. But it's not long before he's on to mercy and deliverance. Judgment because the people have sinned against God. But mercy, because God is a God of mercy and a delivering God for his people. And here, as he comes to the end of his prophecy, the climax of his prophecy, as it were, the punchline of his prophecy, is this text I have for you these few minutes with you now. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? He's prophesying, he's preaching, but here he's not actually addressing the people at all. He's addressing God in the presence of the people, in a public way, so that they can overhear him as he speaks to God. But of course, what he is doing is prophesying, he is preaching, and he's addressing God in this way, lifting up God in this way, so that the people can have their eyes and their hearts and their minds lifted up to this God. So when he says, who is a God like thee? Who is a God like you? Who? A God who will pardon and forgive. Who is a God that will pardon sin and forgive the transgression of the remnants of his inheritance? Who is a God like you? He is making the people in their hearts feel and know that this God is our God, my God, and he will pardon and forgive me. Now that is how I read this text. Looking at it, here is a man speaking to these people, the people of God in his day, and making them think about their God. Who is a God that pardons sin like this God does? Now, if I was giving a historical lecture, I could go into the details of their circumstances, the people's circumstances, and give the relevance of all this for the times in which Micah lived. And then I could say, well, that's the end, and then I could sit down and finish, and we could close this sermon. But that wouldn't be a sermon at all, would it? That'd be a lecture. But what I want to do is preach. I want to preach to you for these few minutes. And I'm supposed to be, and I want to be, a gospel preacher. A preacher of the new covenant. But my text is in the old covenant, in the Old Testament. So what will I do? Well, I will ask the New Testament, the writers of the New Testament, the preachers of the New Testament, Christ and the apostles, and I would say to them, how should I view such prophecies as this? And how should I make these prophecies live today and be gospel sermons today? And Christ would tell me, Luke 24, you must do as I did. I took the despairing, despondent disciples on the Emmaus Road, and what did I do? I took all the scriptures, beginning with Moses and the prophets, and I opened to them the scriptures. And those two disciples who started with me, so depressed and cast down, they were soon saying, did not our hearts burn within us while he spoke to us and showed himself to us out of these scriptures? So Christ would say, now you take Micah 7, and you lift up me to them, you preach me to the people. And those who listen, maybe their hearts are cold, their hearts will be warmed. Maybe they are downcast and afraid and in bondage, and they will find liberty and joy as you preach me from the prophet Micah. So I will try and do that. I could ask Peter, and he would say from Acts 3 and Acts 10, and he would say from 1 Peter chapter 1, you must do what these men did. What did they do? They knew that they were prophesying of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that would follow. So you go and do the same. Take this text, who is a God like you, and preach Christ, the sufferings of Christ, and the glories of Christ to follow, and the glories to come from his sufferings. And maybe these poor sinners and dejected saints will hear, and they will be warmed in their hearts, washed from their sins, and be drawn to this great Redeemer. I could ask Philip. He'd say, well, I met the eunuch, you know, on the road to Gaza, and what happened? He was reading as Isaiah the prophet, and he said to me, of whom does this prophet speak? And I said to him, well, he said, is it Isaiah himself or some other man? Who is it? And beginning at the same scripture, he said, I preached unto him Jesus. So, who is a pardoning God like you, who pardons sin and forgives transgression? As I read my New Testament, I have no doubt that this is a prophecy of what God did in Christ. God made Christ sin for us, that he who knew no sin might be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Paul is saying that to believers. And this is what believers can say. Christ was made sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. God sent his Son into the world, that the world through him might be saved. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So, what should I do? Well, first of all, of course, I can only speak these words to sinners, because there's no point in telling people who aren't sinners that God pardons sin, and those who have no transgression, so on. So, is anybody listening to me? Are you listening to me? Well, then I've got a sinner listening to me, because you're a sinner, my friend. I'm a sinner speaking to you, and you're a sinner listening to me. Right then. So this text applies to us then. This text has some relevance to me, and has some relevance to you. I am a sinner, and I need my sins washed away. I am a transgressor. I need my transgressions forgiven. Transgression means to break God's command. Sin means to miss the mark, to fall short. And I've fallen short, and I have missed the mark, and I have broken God's word. I haven't kept his commandments. Here is his commandment, that I should believe on his Son, 1 John 3:23. And every man who has not believed, there he's broken the command. God commands all men everywhere to repent, and if you haven't repented, you've broken his command. But there are scores, hundreds of commands in Scripture, and we are all transgressors. In other words, if anybody is listening to me, this applies to you. You need cleansing from sin. You need forgiveness of sin, my friend, and so do I. We need our transgressions removed. And what do I have to do now? Jesus has told me, Peter has told me, Philip has told me. What have they all told me? Preach Christ from the Old Testament. If you're in the Old Testament, take the prophet and preach Christ to us. Now, what does Micah do? Well, he could have spent, in this text, he could have spent time telling the people, now look at yourself, see how bad you are. There is a place for that. He could have labored on their sin and dealt on their sin, dwelt on their sin. And there's a place for that, no doubt. But I can only tell you what this text says. He's not actually addressing the people at all. He is lifting up God in the sight and in the hearing of these people. And what do I want to do now? I want to tell you that Christ is the one who can save from sin. And he can cleanse from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Who is a God like you? Now he could have said, who is a God like you, mighty in power to create the universe? Who is a God mighty in wisdom to control the universe? Who is a God sovereign to rule over all history and nations? And he could have spoken in such terms, on and on. But what is the thing that he picks on? It's the pardoning grace of God. It's the forgiving mercy of God. It's the love of God to sinners that he speaks on. Do you not see that this is the highest glory? That God pardons and forgives and cleanses. He delights, it says, to show mercy. He won't be angry forever. He is a pardoning God. He's a God who delights to show mercy. So is there an unbeliever listening to me? You need to be cleansed from your sin, my friend. You need to be washed and forgiven. Otherwise, there is such a thing, and it's in this passage, God's anger. There is the wrath of God. There is the eternal wrath of God. I warn you of it. But my text is all about the mercy of God. And in God's providence, you are hearing me. I appeal to you. Love this God. Trust this God. Rely upon this Christ. Believe this Christ. Receive this mercy. Delight in this mercy. God delights to show mercy. Delight to receive it, my friend. I appeal to you. Repent of your sin. Turn from your sin. Confess your sin to God and ask for his mercy. And he will forgive you. Do I address an unbeliever here, and you might be saying to me, well, this can't apply to me, you know, because you don't know what I've said against Christ. You don't know what hard thoughts I've had. You don't know the things I've done. No, I don't, my friend. And I don't care either. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not belittling sin. But in this context, I don't care. Why not? Because God delights to show mercy. God forgives sin. And this is Micah's point. This is the greatest crown in God's. This is the greatest glory in God's crown. Can't you see what I'm saying? There can be no sin too great for God to forgive if only you will repent in turn and ask for the forgiveness. Can I say that again? The whole point of this text is to say that God is so great in mercy that it's impossible for you to offer to him a sin that can keep you back if you lay down your rebellion, as it were. If you only look to him, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And he delights to show it. He is most willing to save it. I am willing, he said. The leper said, I know you can, he said, but will you? I am willing. I will. Jesus is willing. As Joseph Hart said, he is willing. He is able. The question is, are you willing? You're not able, but are you willing? Do you want to be saved? This is the greatest glory in his crown, that he delights to show mercy. He will show wrath, but he delights to show mercy. And he will show mercy upon you and towards you, my friend, if you seek him, if you trust him now. And by seek, I don't mean go away and think about it on and on. Come to him now, even as I'm speaking to you, and he will have mercy upon you, I assure you. But I don't think this text is primarily for the unbeliever. It says over and over again, words like this, the remnant of his inheritance. He will have compassion on us. He will tread our sins underfoot. Mercy to Abraham our fathers and so on. And as I say, Micah the prophet was addressing Judah and Israel. And therefore I address professing believers. Now you are trusting Christ. Your sins have been washed away. So what can I say to you about delighting, God delighting to show mercy and forgiveness? Well, my friend, we still sin, don't we? And some of you, many of you, I'm afraid, would have been reared on a system where you're told and taught to look within yourself and to see how you're making progress and your sanctification is called, and you're looking to rules and the law, and what's happening? You find that you're stumbling and falling and failing, and you're on a treadmill and you're going round and round and getting nowhere, and you're afraid, and you begin to lose assurance, and you begin to doubt and question, and you can't see sanctification enough, and so on. What does Micah the prophet do? What should I do? Well, I can labour your lack of sanctification, and I can rebuke you for it, and there is a place for it, and myself too. But what does Micah do, and what should I do? Lift up Christ, lift up God in his mercy, lift up Christ in delighting to show mercy. Why should I do that? Because I look at Christ, and I see his perfections, and his delighting in showing mercy, and his forgiveness, and the blood of Christ to wash me from my sins. This will sanctify me, this will assure me, as I dwell upon him and look for him. In other words, my friend, I'm addressing you, believer. I'm addressing you if you're depressed and cast down and sad and spiritually low and bewildered and confused and in this treadmill of routine and you... Let me lift up Christ again to you. He delights to show mercy to you. He will forgive you. He will pardon you. Let me tell you the story of two men. I know that one man was everlastingly saved, and the other man was everlastingly damned. They were both connected with Christ very closely, but one man, they both sinned, I'm afraid. They both fell badly. But one man was damned, and one man was saved. I'm thinking of Judas, and I'm thinking of Peter. The difference in the two men is these. One would not come back to Christ. The other did come back to Christ. The difference is, coming to Christ, he forgives sins. So refusing Christ is damnation. Christ delights to show mercy, my friend. I'm not encouraging you to sin, but stop looking at yourself and look more at Christ. This is what Micah did. He lifted up God in the sight of the people. I'm trying to lift him up now, as it were, before you. He delights to show mercy. His blood can cleanse. His blood will cleanse. And he will have mercy upon you. Come back to him. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word? Then look again. Because here it is. Who is a pardoning God like you? Who has grace so rich and free? What God is there like this? What Jesus is there like this? I could also say to the churches. Many of us, many of the churches I know, are in a very low state and we need reviving. God is a God that delights in reviving his people. I cannot predict it. Micah could. He was a prophet. I am only a preacher. But I know that God can revive us again. Wilt thou not revive us again, that we may rejoice in you? So whether you're an unbeliever who's never trusted Christ, then trust him now, for he delights to show mercy. Or whether you are a believer in an impoverished state, I tell you, my friend, your impoverishment is because you're looking to yourself or to your works or to the law. Look to Jesus. I being lifted up will draw all men to myself. I have tried in my feeble way to lift him up now. There is no God like this God. Who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives transgression, the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. Show mercy to us. Come then to Christ now. Let Christ warm your heart. Wesley said, "When shall I find my willing heart all taken up with thee? I'll thirst, I die, I faint to prove the greatness of redeeming love, the love of Christ, the love of God to me." There it is, my friend. I'm trying to lift him up before you now. Look to him. Love him. Trust him. Yield to him. Submit to him. Delight in him. Set your affections and your mind and your heart upon him. All will be well. Do not let Satan tell you you've sinned yourself away. You cannot. If you come to Christ, he will forgive all your sin. For I tell you, there is no God like this one, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnants of his inheritance. He does not stay angry forever. His delight is to show mercy. Can I put it this way, my friend? Give God delight now. Let him show, as it were, show mercy to you. We read that the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. May they have much joy over this poor little address now, because I've lifted up Christ. May you look to him, and may the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner, and more than one, that repents.